Patriots fans, mark it down. Sunday, November 20th, 2022, Marcus Jones became a New England Patriot. It is Victory Monday here on the pod, so settle in. You're about to be locked in to the Locked On Patriots podcast.
You are Locked On Patriots, your daily New England Patriots podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all of you Foxborough faithful, and thank you once again for making Locked On Patriots a daily part of your New England Patriots coverage and also your first listen every day. Remember, Locked On Patriots is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube, so smash that subscribe button, download, subscribe, follow Locked On Patriots wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, today, folks, Locked On Patriots is presented by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. You can pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on your entry. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. And as you can see, folks, today is a Victory Monday. The New England Patriots basking in the glow of their 14th straight victory over the guys in gangrene. And the New England Patriots now move to 6-4 on the 2022 season, firmly entrenched in a playoff spot right now. And here to break it all down is a man who loves it when gangrene falls at the feet of Emperor Belichick and the empire that exists in Foxborough. He is the Count of Murphy Fisto himself, the legendary Thomas Murphy of E2G Sports. Murph, thank you for coming to me today in friendship. Thank you for lending your wisdom and counsel, Don Murphy.
Oh, but you know, it just feels really good. Just feels really good to sweep the Jets. It really does. And folks out there, that's gangrene is spelled G-A-N-G-R-E-N-E. That's one word, gangrene. Oh man, I had a frustratingly good time yesterday. It was a defensive thing of beauty that will be a joy forever. Remember this one, folks. Remember this one. Remind me, Michael, how many points did the Jets put up on the Bills when Robert Saleh celebrated on the sidelines after that victory? Do you remember off the top of your head?
I think you might need to remind us. I'm trying to erase that side for you. Yeah.
It was more than three. He's trash. I've been telling you this, people, since before the draft. There was a reason I danced in my living room on draft night when the Jets traded up to get Zach Wilson. He's trash. And I'm just riding the wave here, man. I'm just riding the green Patriots wave of another sweep of the Jets. That's 14 in a row, isn't it? 14 in a row.
14 straight. It really is. You want to talk about dominance over a particular team, and especially, you know, given the New England Patriots' dominance against the New York Jets at home at Gillette Stadium under Bill Belichick, it really is something to marvel at. But, you know, the Patriots, obviously not a perfect effort yesterday as well. We're going to break it all down for you here today, folks. But first, Murph, how can we begin anywhere else but Marcus Jones, the ex-Houston Cougar, doing what he was drafted to do? And, you know, the one thing that ran through my head when I was watching Marcus, and folks, for those of you that haven't seen the play yet, or that, you know, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the game, Marcus breaking for an 84-yard punt return with less than 30 seconds left on the clock. Just a phenomenal break. You started to see him break through the coverage, and then once he hit a certain area, you knew that the Jets were going to turn on. No pun intended there, folks, but they did exactly do that. And this kid's blazing speed on target in a game where he was questionable to return with an ankle injury, if you want to believe that. He comes back in and does his job. And all I could think about was doing pre-draft and post-draft scouting on this kid and watching as a redshirt senior against 19th-ranked SMU in his senior season, returning a kickoff 100 yards for a touchdown, 17 seconds left in the game. This is what he was brought here to do.
Right.
And this is one of the big reasons why he was the Paul Hornung Award winner, why he was given, you know, the Associated Press All-America first team as a defensive back. This is the stuff that this kid is capable of doing.
Yep.
Your thoughts on Marcus Jones, my friend. Just what was running through your head when you saw him break for the touchdown? And I wrong for thinking the best is yet to come?
No, you're not. You're not thinking that the best is yet to come. When I saw Jones go back on the field to field that last kick after him being out, I sat there and I thought it. We all thought it. He's going to take it to the house. We all thought he was going to take. None of us were smart enough to tweet it or say it, but we all thought it. When he made that second break, he made his first break towards the sideline and got upfield. I thought, all right, he could instantly get this team into field goal range, but when he made the second cut back inside, I knew it. He's going to the house, and I started saying it. And he's going. This is game right here, right now. Game over, man. And it was beautiful. I've watched this from every single angle that you possibly could. Backed it up 13 times, and just to keep enjoying it. And it was a thing of beauty. It really was. Everybody on that punt team did their job. You can't even put it on a breakdown for the Jets and their special teams unit. Everybody was where they were supposed to be, and Jones just found the right lane and got in there, and his speed is unbelievable. I talked last week with Phil Perry, and I'm not sure if it was Phil or Claire said that somebody had said to them that it's time to make this kid a slot receiver, and I couldn't agree more. I think it was Jumbo Hart said it to Claire on Claire Cooper's fine show. It's time to make this kid a slot receiver, and I agree. The best is yet to come. I don't know why Bill hasn't thought of this. This kid is so fast and unbelievably talented. I just imagine the yak. Imagine the yak. But it was fantastic. It was a great defensive game. I hope everybody looks at it that way. And you know, if it wasn't for a few miscues, which I'm sure Michael is going to bring up in a few minutes, it could have been a vastly different final score.
Yeah, it could have been a vastly different final score. And I think that's the true on both sides. I think right now the New England Patriots and the New York Jets are both looking at missed opportunities early on, trying to get them some things done, especially in the first half. I was very impressed with the defensive effort in the second half, and we'll get into that in just a moment.
Unreal.
But I do not want to take that much away from Marcus in this first
segment.
No. Because really, I mean, his performance yesterday and what he did does deserve its own segment, folks. And
right.
I'm glad that you mentioned the possibility of slot receiver, because as a corner coming out of college, I mean, this kid was very well adept to the position that he had. Again,
yep.
I mentioned Associated Press All-America first team as a defensive back. That's his prowess, his ability to be able to close on tackles, his ability to be able to chase down defenders and stay in step with some of these fast targets that he's going to see in the NFL is something that does raise an intriguing possibility of him flipping over to the opposite side and catching passes as well, because we know he can handle punts, he can handle
yep.
kickoffs. Is this a situation where he could come over now and be a defensive back turned wide receiver, and
yeah.
who knows, maybe even turned back to defensive back at one point? There's a guy right now on the Patriots coaching staff that made a hell of a living doing that. His name is Troy Brown, folks,
right.
And that is someone that I think could be very, very interesting as a mentor to Marcus and doing what he's doing. You know, Troy is definitely working with this kid, whether it's overt or whether it's behind the scenes. There's a lot of elements of fire in this kid's, step, and just an amazing, amazing effort. And we talked to Bill Belichick after the game about Marcus and the growth that he's shown. And I thought Bill, put it perfectly, that from the time that Marcus walked through the doors as a rookie, as a first draftee, to where he is now, he called him a sea apart. And that really, I think, is something that in my opinion, really shows the growth and the work that this kid has put in to become the primary return man in his rookie season.
Yep.
He wasn't that, he didn't have that role coming out of coming out of training camp. That was reserved for Miles Bryant. Marcus has risen above that, has taken it, and he's taken it to the house. And yesterday he did take it to the house for the New England Patriots. So, you know what, folks? It's going to be interesting to see what happens in the future. But in terms of the return game, yeah, I think the Patriots have their return man, and I don't think they're looking back. And Marcus Jones did not look back with the game-winning touchdown to give the Patriots a 10-3 win. It was a pretty result, but it wasn't pretty getting there by any stretch of the imagination. And unfortunately for the New England Patriots, it might not be that pretty moving forward for a group that's already under a lot of fire. The offensive line might be missing their most important piece for the remainder of the season. And another key piece on that line may be out for an extended period as well. You know Murph is the guru when it comes to offensive line, so we are going to talk David Andrews and Isaiah Wynn in just a moment when this episode of the Locked On Patriots podcast continues. But first, this holiday, Murph, find what you love at Total Wine and More. With so many great bottles to choose from, it's easy to find a new favorite single barrel bourbon or the perfect gifts for everyone on your list with some help from a friendly guide. And all with the confidence of knowing you found something special for the lowest price. Find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine and More. Curbside pickup and delivery available in most areas. Visit TotalWine.com to learn more. Spirits not sold in Virginia or North Carolina. Drink responsibly. Be 21. And Murph, as long as we're all in the holiday spirit and we're collecting holiday gifts for all the ones that we love on our list, there is also something to be said about getting from point A to point B. You want to make sure that your ride is in tip-top shape and you're equipped to be able to make it to spend the holiday with loved ones. And if your car is hitting the skids or you're in need of a ride or you just simply want a little change of scenery this holiday season, try our new friends at Turo, which is the world's largest sharing marketplace. With Turo, you can book a car anytime you want, wherever you want, from a community of local hosts. Browse a huge selection of vehicles for just about any occasion or budget across the U.S., the U.K., Canada, and coming soon to Australia. Book a spacious SUV or minivan for a family road trip. You can get a classic or luxury car for a special event, birthday, or holiday. Folks, I don't think the family truckster is on the list, but give me a moment. I'll check on that to see if it could be. But in any case, you can find an affordable economy car if you're on a budget and just need to get from point A to point B. Test drive that new electric vehicle you've had your eye on to see how it fits into your everyday life. Maybe it'll help you make your Christmas decision a little bit easier. Even many Turo hosts can even deliver the car right to you. So every trip is backed by liability insurance. Terms and conditions and exclusions apply. Find your drive at Turo.com. Patriots fans, the legendary Count of Murphy Fisto himself, Thomas Murphy, joins me here on E2GSports.com. And Murph, in the previous segment, what did we begin with? 10-3 victory over the Jets. Marcus Jones doing amazing things with the football in the closing seconds. But if we're being honest, this was a tough one to watch up until that point. And the offensive effort was, how shall I say, lacking for three and nine-tenths quarters, I would say. It was a tough one to watch. And I know a lot of the Mac Jones haters are going to get on after Mac about holding the ball too long. We'll get into Mac's performance in a little bit, but I don't think you can talk about the offensive struggles yesterday without talking about the absence of not one but two linemen. Isaiah Wynn obviously going down with a foot injury. Our good friend Jeff Howe of The Athletic is reporting that Isaiah might be out for a little bit. Obviously a loss for the Patriots. I know Isaiah's had his share of, you know, dirt thrown on him, you know, when it comes to the fan base. Even right here on these airwaves, we've been critical of Isaiah at various points this season. But still a professional level lineman, and the Patriots are going to miss his presence, whether he's contributing at a high level or not. The bigger loss, obviously, is team captain David Andrews, and your heart goes out to David, who worked his tail off to get back from a vicious, dirty hit that Mike Pennell put on him in week 7 against the Chicago Bears. He comes back, fights concussion protocol, makes it through the bye week. He comes back on the field. and it's looking like a pretty bad thigh injury that may keep him out for the remainder of the season. Folks, at the time we're recording this, it hasn't been confirmed, so we're still waiting on news from David. But if, in fact, the worst should happen, Murph, what does this mean for the Patriots moving forward? How detrimental of a blow is this to their offensive line?
This is huge. This is the brain that everybody functions off of, up and down that line on the left and right side of him. It was another dirty hit that took him out. He got leg whipped. He got leg whipped. And that's how he ended up getting injured. And that's what really, melts my cheese over all of this. It was a terrible thing to happen. The Patriots are going to have to piece together something to mitigate the loss of this man who is more than a captain. He's already somebody that I've fitted for a red jacket here in New England, and it's going to be difficult for the next man up. As you know, we were talking earlier, this offensive line has did not come together over the bye week in the way that I had hoped that it would. It was a little, I don't want to say disconcerting, but it was definitely head scratching as to the starting five that they came out with. But as we said last week, pick five guys and go with them. Unfortunately, now there's only three of those guys left. Cody Roussey was brought up from the practice squad last week, and he might end up playing a valuable role down the stretch. He might be in the middle of that line.
Yeah, I think that there's a very good chance he might be. And look, that is all due respect to James Ferenc, who I think has done a serviceable job in trying to fill the shoes of a team legend.
I mean, but James might be needed somewhere else right now because guards may be kicked out to tackle, and then James might have to slip in there at guard. It's gotten very, very thin there in a very short period of time.
Yeah, absolutely. And, for the New England Patriots, especially with a team that is struggling offensively the way they have, to lose components like that, especially a guy like Andrews, who really, I think, is the glue of what keeps that line together. Yeah. We've talked about this several times. Cole Strange looks like a completely different player when David is next to him as opposed to when he's not. He keeps guys in that realm where you need to be in order to be able to stick with your role and play. And you mentioned this last week here on the show, Murph. You mentioned these guys are not plug and play, like, oh yeah, just throw me here, throw me there. Being an offensive lineman is so much about routine and repetition that when you have to mess with that, and you saw this yesterday, a makeshift line of seven guys going in and out all over the place. Mac Jones is sacked six times. He's hit eight times. You know, tackles for loss were basically, growing on the Foxborough pine trees surrounding, really. So, I mean, this is not a situation where the Patriots are looking at this and going, this is really, really ideal. But their offensive output decreases as well. And I'm going off of the two-game sample with weeks 8 and 9 when David was out of the lineup, because I don't have the final breakdown numbers in front of me at the time that we're recording this. But just think about it. Before David Andrews was injured or went down with a concussion, the Patriots' expected points added per play were 0.03. When he was out, it dropped to 0.25. That is that's a significant drop. That's a plummet, folks. It may not sound much, but when you break down what expected points added means and the definitions and how that affects your offensive output, that is a pretty bad regression. Mac Jones pressured on 39.3% of his dropbacks without David Andrews in the lineup, as opposed to only 28.2 when he was in the lineup.
Right.
So you saw it yesterday. You're going to continue to see that again. Mac continues to be pressured, but it's not all about Mac Jones here either, folks. The running backs suffer when David is not in the lineup. Patriots averaging 4.7 yards per rush with Andrews in the lineup prior to week 8 and 9. That average drops to 3.6. So unfortunately, unless the Patriots have a quick fix in mind, you're probably going to see that trend continue. And that is not a good, trend to continue, because again, yesterday, the Jets.
Anybody defense, have Brian Stork's number?
Yeah, absolutely. It's true. Yeah, it really, really is. I mean, the Patriots right now are in need of help at that level. And again, the Jets defense, six sacks, 8 tackles for loss, 8 quarterback hits.
Yeah,
it's going to be tough times for Mac and the New England Patriots offense coming up.
That's it. I know we're going to talk about Mac in a minute, so I'll hold off on my little add-on here.
Well, you might want to hold that thought, Murph, but you don't have to hold on too long because we are going to be back right soon here on Locked On Patriots to break down the rest of the game. That's right, folks. It wasn't all about injuries and punt returns. The New England Patriots put out an offensive and defensive effort that definitely deserves its own segment, and we will do so when this episode of the Locked On Patriots podcast continues in just a moment. But first, please remember that here on Locked On Patriots, we are brought to you by Prize Picks, daily fantasy made easy. And let me give you a little example as to how Prize Picks works. You pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. There's no competing against other people, so you're not competing against Murph or myself. This is you against the projections available. And Prize Picks offers projections on just about any sport that you watch, whether it's the NFL, NBA, NHL, college football, men's and women's college basketball, World Cup soccer, and more. Definitely be sure to check out our good friends at Prize Picks. Their entries can be made in 30 seconds or less. The withdrawals are safe, they're fast, and it's currently operational in over 30 states and Canada. That's right, folks. It is that easy. So download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code LOCKEDON. That means if you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, well, Prize Picks will give you $50. So be sure to enter the promo code LOCKEDON at sign-up for an instant deposit match up to $100 at prizepicks.com. Patriots fans, the legendary Thomas Murphy of E2GSports.com joining me here today to break down and analyze everything related to the Patriots' 10-3 victory over the New York Jets in Week 11 of the 2022 season. Patriots move to 6-4 on the season and right now currently hold the 6th playoff seed. And Murph, when you look at the New England Patriots right now, obviously they're going to be moving forward after this win. Short turnaround. They're going to be in Minnesota on Thanksgiving night, taking on the Vikings. Vikings have got to have a bad taste in their mouth after that drubbing that the Cowboys put on them on Sunday. They're going to be upset. This is a team that can make things happen. This is a team with one of the most explosive wide receivers I've seen come down the pike in quite a while. Pretty good defense. Sunday's performance notwithstanding, this is a team that can stop you, and they can put points on the board. In order to get where you're going, you have to know where you've been. I say that a lot on Locked On, but I think that's really important. And when you take your leave of this Jets game, what are the things that Bill Belichick is going to be putting up on that board? What is he going to be putting up on that video screen showing this team about what they did well, what they didn't do well, and any other parting thoughts that you have on this one? Because I know there are a couple that you're dying to share with our audience.
Eliminate the stupid. This could have easily been a 24-3 game. Two missed field goals, too many penalties. The 8 penalties that 5 of them happened in the red zone. Okay, it's ridiculous. You literally pushed points away by being stupid. All right, this team cannot survive that way. It cannot survive giving up 8 sacks. I put 2 of those on Mac when he was going through his progressions. He missed a couple of open play, including Ramondre, that I would have finally gotten that wheel route that I've been begging for.
It's true.
You know, it, as he was looking back down the field and wanting to make a big play to Hunter Henry, another one when he's in a 3-3 game, the last thing you want to do is turn a ball over. So he held the ball a bit too long on a couple of plays. But other than that, it was just stupid penalties that kept this team from really putting a beat down on the Jets this week, which would have made my day even more spectacularly happy. The food would have been tasted even better. But no, that's it. That's what they need to do. They need to clean up the penalties that are happening on the offensive line. And Tommy Curran said last night in his podcast that, you know, you can no longer say that the Patriots aren't playing Patriots football, because for 2 years, this has been Patriots football now.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you. And, you know, bottom line, when you look at what this team does and you look at how their season has progressed, starting the season 1-3, eerily similar to what they did last year in 2021, when you talk about a 1-3 start, inching their way into the playoffs and then going on a midseason run, they're going to be running into the Buffalo Bills late in the season, just like
looking at a gauntlet. They've got a gauntlet to go through now.
They absolutely do. I mean, this game against the Vikings, we've already established, is not going to be an easy game by any stretch of the imagination. They come back home. The Thursday night following is the Bills. They've got the Arizona Cardinals. They've got the Raiders, which, well, I don't count that as a guaranteed, or I don't count that as an easy game, because Josh McDaniels has always coached well against Bill Belichick. So there's a lot of the
preseason stuff that we were hearing about changing terminology and changing an offensive system had to do with how many former coaches that the Patriots were going to be facing this year. You know, Flo was down there in Pittsburgh. We got to go out to Vegas. I almost said Oakland. I almost said LA, but I got Vegas in there. I'm old, people. Don't get old. But these are guys that know what's coming,
right?
And they wanted to change those things up. And you can see it in other games when you have defenders yelling out what the play is coming for, because they know the situations and tendencies that have been, you know, built upon over the years. And a certain man named Thomas Edward Brady has been able to overcome those things, because it didn't matter if they knew it was coming. He was still going to get the ball there. But now it's completely different. That game out in Vegas is not a gimme, and I really don't think the Arizona game is either.
Yeah. No, I don't think there's any gimmies left on the schedule. And this is going to be a tough matchup for them. And especially if you're the New England Patriots, obviously you're taking away the defensive effort. I mean, look at what this team did on the defensive side of the ball yesterday. You know, stifling defense. Matthew Judon.
2 yards. Two yards. In an entire half, they gave up 2 yards. It was one of the most dominant performances I've ever seen. No matter what you think of Zach Wilson, he's trash. You have to give credit to these guys. They are just playing out of their minds right now. You know, a lot of times, you sit back and you take for granted a fantastic defensive effort. But yesterday it was needed. Matthew Judon had another fantastic game. Dietrich Wise had an amazing game. The way he's come on over the past, you know, few years. Devin McCourty had a good game, even though he dropped that interception that would have given the Patriots some fantastic, fantastic. What are you going to do? It was a dead duck up there. If there was a quarterback that could put any spin on the ball, Devin would have freaking caught the ball and maybe taken it back.
Yeah, exactly.
But that thing wobbled through the air like a frisbee with two that had been almost ripped in half.
Yeah, I think Devin was actually surprised that pass even got off. I think that he was really surprised that he had decided to make that, meaning Zach Wilson. And I think it caught him by surprise. I think he's looking at it going like, oh, my God, he actually really threw that. I didn't catch it. And I think it just bounced off. Obviously had some fun with it afterwards. That probably would have been scrutinized a little bit more heavily if the Patriots did not come out on top in this game. Jonathan Jones also had a chance to make an interception late in the fourth quarter, under 2 minutes remaining there, where I think Zach Wilson was targeted. I think it was Denzel Mims he was trying to reach, and unfortunately couldn't snag that one as well. But, I mean, if you're nitpicking there, if you're looking at those two and saying the Patriots defense needs to improve, I mean, the previous low that they held a team to in a given half, other than the two that you just mentioned, was 25 yards by the L.A. Rams in the first half of the December 4th, 2016 matchup between these two teams. So this is not a situation where the New England Patriots are, you know, lacking for any type of confidence on the defensive side of the ball. They are doing it, and they're doing it as well as I've seen the team do anything, you know, within the past, you know, couple of years. This team is really clicking on all cylinders when it comes to defense. Before we go, Murph, I know we want to talk a little bit about the performance of Mac Jones. We haven't really done much of that this game because there's so much going on. But let's talk about the things he did do well yesterday. 23 of 27, 246 yards, no yep. turnovers, no touchdowns. Things that I was impressed with Mac. I love the fact that he utilized play action. When Mac was operating out of play action, right. seven passes, over 100 yards. This, to me, is where they can build on. And we asked Mac about this after the game, and he mentioned that he does want to incorporate play action. He specifically mentioned Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith as guys yep. that they can utilize in this situation. I loved seeing that. He even hit Ramondre Stevenson and Jacoby Myers right. out of play action a couple of times. Team, you know, finished with 297 yards of total offense, and I think that's where this team really can shine. But one thing that you have to be concerned with if you're the New England Patriots, red zone. Red right. zone is their Achilles heel. They crossed midfield, five of their 11 offensive drives only reached the red zone twice. Yep. If New England hopes to maintain playoff contention, Murph, they got to fix this.
Yeah, they really do. And it goes back to the penalties that that I was talking about before that pushed them back out of field goal range, that, mm-hmm. that killed drives that were moving in the right direction. One thing you mentioned play action. We actually saw a couple on first down. That was a fantastic little twist. You know, we mentioned that Mac mentioned utilizing his tight ends. That was one of my keys this week, mm-hmm. was getting to play action and let these tight ends bust up the seams, and that's where you could attack. But he didn't have enough time to do it. You saw on too many occasions he had to rush throws to get rid of the ball, put it somewhere where somebody else wasn't going to pick it off, because this game was so turnover dependent. You could not turn this ball over when you had the score at 3-3 and end up giving them the Jets good position. Can I get a wide receiver running across the back of the end zone? All right. Can I get somebody going to a pylon? Can we take a shot into the end zone and stop just slamming people up into the line? All right. As much as we want to say, you know, play action was used more, you know, the zone blocking was, you know, the zone running was fantastic at times. It still gets too predictable. And Matt Patricia holds his play sheet a little bit too tight when he gets down there. That's where it has to get mixed up, is inside the 20s. They've seemed to realize this in between the 20s, but they've got to do it inside it too.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I know a lot of people are going to say, well, it's tough to judge the play calling in Mac yesterday based on what you saw from the offensive line. But I do believe that the play calling does have to play and cater to Mac's strengths. Yeah. And when you see that happen, good things can happen. Mac broke a few big plays yesterday, things that a lot of the Twitterati out there are trying to say right. he doesn't have the capability of doing. All of a sudden, the team is struggling to put points on the board, and Zappy is trending on right. on Twitter. And, oh, you know, folks, I get it. I liked watching Bailey when he was in there. Yeah. But there's a reason why Mac is still in there, folks. Mm-hmm. And the Patriots know this as well as anybody. No one knows how to scout talent. Pro-level talent better than Bill Belichick. And if mm-hmm. he's continuing to use Mac in these situations, there's a reason for that. So just kind of keep that in mind and keep that in the back of your head. Don't know if that's going to be the case moving forward next year or whatever. Every year is a new year. But for this year, Mac is the guy. And I think the Patriots need to start utilizing the offense and catering it to his strengths to make sure right. that they run more efficiently. But I'm glad that you mentioned the tight ends. I did see that in your monster keys, and you know, no question about it. I think that the Pats need to move forward. Four of the six sacks that Mac absorbed were in Jets territory yesterday. So protection's got to be better. Mac's got to be more aware. He's got to be, you know, a little more on the ball. I think we did mention, and you mentioned two of those needed to be on his shoulders, but right. Ultimately, you know, the Patriots are going to have their work cut out for them.
It is. But there were positive signs. Man. There were more gap runs. There was more power. There was more wham. There was more trap. They got downhill and things worked. Keep doing that and get the play action going. And, you know, God, man, pass block. Yeah, just absolutely. Pass block, please. You know, give it a shot.
Yep. And if you're looking for a silver lining to end on, folks, one of the best silver linings that you can have if you're an NFL quarterback, not turning the ball over one single solitary time. Mac Jones did that yesterday. Very efficient day. Red zone targets, hopefully they'll come and they'll get more savvy in that area. But when you're protecting the football and keeping it out of the hands of the opposing defense, you're doing something right. So, Murph, what can I say? It's always an honor, always a pleasure. Ran a little over today on this one, but we did. No, absolutely. No. It's, you know what? Marcus Jones and all of the hoopla surrounding him deserved its own segment. And, folks, we thank you for continuing to join us here on Locked On Patriots each and every Monday, because Mondays were created for this man. Their victory Mondays are fun, but it's always more fun when it's a Locked On Murph Monday. Every Monday is a Locked On Murph Monday, and we'll continue that. Before I let you go, my friend, please let everyone know where they can find you, interact with you, and what you have coming down the pike that they can share their Thanksgiving dinner while they're reading or listening to the great voice or the great pen of Thomas Murphy.
Well, on Thanksgiving, of course, you're going to read my Monster Keys to Patriots Victory. Hopefully they turn a few more this week. Other than that, I'm kind of taking a little vacation this week. It's been 18 months since I've had any time off whatsoever. It's kind of slow in the baseball world, so I'm going to take a bit off. But I say that all the time, and then I end up writing 6,000 words. So follow me at TMurph207. And other than that, you know, special teams count. Special teams count, people. Take that to the bank, Felger. And it's not just Jones. You know, a shout out to Michael Parlady. But pronounce that for me, Michael, who had seven punts yesterday, was probably the Patriots' best offensive weapon. You know, right there, you know, 317 yards. 317 yards. So good stepping up by him. Other than that, I'm out till next week.
Absolutely. And well deserved, my friend. Definitely take your time. Enjoy. And folks, we are still here on Thanksgiving week. No days off, including a special Thanksgiving crossover edition coming up with myself and Luke Braun, the host of Locked On Vikings. We'll be coming at you, previewing the game for you and getting you ready for kickoff on your Thanksgiving night. And of course, don't forget Tuesday and Wednesday show coming at you as well. Friday game recap, all the types of shows that you want will be right here on Locked On Patriots. So don't forget to download, subscribe to, follow Locked On Patriots wherever you get your podcasts, and smash that subscribe button on YouTube. And now that you've made us your first listen, make your second listen our good friends over at Locked On Sports Today. All of the major sports, all of the takes that you want, the take of the day, all the analysis, it's all there. So definitely be sure to download, subscribe to, follow, including on the Odyssey app and on YouTube, our good friends at Locked On Sports Today. On behalf of my good friend, the Don, here on Locked On Patriots, the legendary Thomas Murphy, I'm Mike DeBate. Please continue to stay safe, stay well, be the change you wish to see in the world. Have a great day, everyone.
Nice trade up, gangrene. Nice trade.